Welcome to the Crystal Pain Show, where we help you embrace your life right where you are and give you practical steps to get where you want to go. Whether you are in your car, folding laundry, cooking, cleaning, or maybe even just enjoying a cup of coffee and a few minutes of quiet, we're so glad you're joining us today. Here's your host, wife, mom of six kids, foster mom, entrepreneur, and author, Crystal Pain.
Welcome to another episode of the Crystal Pain Show. I am honored to be sitting across from Ann Nielsen. She has a brand new book out called The Brushstrokes of Life, and it's all about discovering how God brings beauty and purpose to your story. And Ann was just sitting here sharing with me how God has just shown up in her story over and over and over, how he has redeemed broken parts of her life, and how he has been such an artist in her life and weaving these pieces and these brushstrokes where she looks back and it didn't make sense at the time, but now she can see a fuller picture and how just the beauty of God's goodness in her story and using those broken pieces in such beautiful ways. And so I'm really excited to get to dive into her story and have you all be so encouraged by her and her heart. But before we get into all of that, Anne, I'd love for you to start by introducing yourself to my audience.
Oh gosh, Crystal, I'm so happy to be here. And you do have a gift of words. That was beautiful. I'm Ann Nielsen from Charlotte, North Carolina. Just happy to be here sitting, you know, across from you. A lot of these interviews are Zoom, so it's really good to be face to face. I am, first of all, a wife to my husband, Clark, for 29 years. We'll be celebrating our 30th wedding anniversary this fall. I'm a mother to four incredible beautiful adult children. I cannot believe they're all adults. And I'm an artist. I knew that I wanted to be an artist as a little girl. We kind of will touch on a little bit of that, but had a lot of bumps in the road on my journey of life. But I am an artist and well known for my angels, my ethereal angels that I paint. And so it really is an honor to be here and just excited to share parts of the story.
Mm. And so you alluded to that you have wanted to be an artist since the time that you were a child. I'd love to kind of dig into that. Like when you were little, were you just always drawing, painting, or was it kind of one of those things like you wanted to know how to?
Oh, I was drawing and doodling. I want to say that I doodled my way through high school. Hence why I made a D minus in 10th grade art. But I think my teacher thought I was coloring outside the lines. But as a little girl, I was in the third grade. And I knew that I wanted to be an artist. Even in the third grade, I had to write a paper. It was one of those, you know, three sentences. What do you want to be when you grow up? And highlighted, the title was an artist. And then highlighted in those little sentences, I wanted to be an artist. That's what I want to be. I also wanted to be a wife and a mom of a lot of children, but really, truly wanted to, you know, I knew that God had created me to create something. I don't know what it was going to, you know, be. I didn't know if it was painting. I did doodle a lot, caricatures, anything creative, whether it was sewing a pocketbook and selling those pocketbooks or stringing puka beads and selling these necklaces, I was always creating something.
Mm. And so you talked about there was a lot of brokenness in your childhood. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, when I was young, my parents divorced when I was five, and it was not a very smooth divorce. And my mom struggled with some, you know, addictions and some just mental things that she went through. My dad, I mean, it was just hard. And I don't remember a lot of my childhood. It's not crystal clear. I do remember snippets. But I think for me, that kind of that escaping into just that creative world, I want to just touch base that I, early on when I was about 8 years old, I did have a powerful experience. I wouldn't say that I grew up in a Christian home, but I, you know, we went to church and, you know, it was a very rocky home life, I guess better words, but I had an experience that I knew my faith was real. I can't explain it. It's just something that happened to me. So I held on to that for as long as I could. And, you know, I knew that God created me to create, to draw, to paint. My dad did see this in me and saw this little desire. And I think I was 11 or 12. And I did he signed me up for an adult charcoal class. And I thought that I was just the coolest kid, you know, amongst all these adults. And I'll never forget what I had. My assignment was a tube of lipstick. And it was really cool. But that was my desire, is to somehow, some way, either, you know, get into the art world.
And so fast forward, you are, you know, all of your elementary and then high school, you're wanting to create, you're wanting to be an artist. Did you feel like you had outlets for that, or that it was kind of like this desire that was stifled?
I think it was a desire that was stifled. I really, and truly, I felt like I was not good enough, you know, in high school and in, you know, I guess coming from a broken home. And I that's kind of what I felt. I am not worthy. I am not good enough. I really don't think I have the calling on my life to do this. I don't think I'm equipped to do this. On top of that, having parents saying, no, you'll be a starving artist. No, you can't do this. No. And so a lot of the no's kind of shaped me. I was not a great student. Looking back in hindsight, I probably was dyslexic, probably still am a little bit, but, you know, did not pay attention in class. I kind of remember being in history class and doodling a lot and not paying attention to the subject. Thus, my grade suffered. Mm-hmm. But I think it's just kind of, you know, coming under that label of, I'm not worthy, you know, for this. So
how did you get from feeling that and feeling like this passion in you was stifled and you're not worthy to, you know, when did you actually start saying, I'm going to put art out to the world?
Okay. So my 20s, I wandered and I was searching, and I graduated from high school. And because my grades were not great, my dad said I had to go to an in-state school. I'm from Florida. So it was either Florida State or University of Florida. Those are huge schools. I'm a small, intimate type person. The high school that I was attending, and I'll go back to this, was in my graduating class, there were 20 of us. 12th grade, my dad jerked me out of high school and put me in, because of my grades, into a school that there were thousands of people. And it just kind of, you know, it rocked my world a little bit. But anyway, I went to Florida State for about a year and a half. I flunked out of college. Mm-hmm. Yes, I flunked out of college. And I came home and I just kind of wandered. I did, you know, a couple of jobs. And it wasn't until my dad sent me on this adventure. It was called Outward Bound. And it was in the North Carolina mountains. And it was there that I really found out who I was and what I wanted to be. And we talk a little bit about this in the Brushstrokes of Life. But I came home empowered. I was going to do this. I went back to college and I graduated from Jacksonville University with an elementary education degree. And I poured my heart and soul into these little third graders with art lessons. And, you know, I don't care if we were doing a math class or a science class, there was always an art component to it. So that's when it started bubbling back up. Mm. And that was 30 something years ago. And the surrendering, truly knowing that God, you know, did have a plan for my life. And that plan was to prosper me and give me my childlike dreams and desires. So, but it was a journey. It was truly a journey of finding out who I was and knowing that there was a plan.
So you talked about not feeling worthy. How have you processed through that? And Do you ever struggle with feeling like that now, or is that something that is very much in the past?
I think that, and my faith, you know, everybody asked me why I paint angels. I painted that because I wanted something that reflected my faith. I think that little girl that had that encounter at such an early age, that was such a strong anchor in my life. Through my wandering in that wilderness in my 20s, I finally surrendered it all and kind of came to terms that, you know, we serve a big God and He loves me just where I am, through all my mistakes and all my failures, through all my, you know, my self-unworthiness. So it took me a time to come to that place, but I don't think I struggle with it as much now as I did, you know, 30 years ago. And there was a time when I truly, I think my middle name, you know, it's gotten a little bit better, but control. I like to control things. And it wasn't until 30 years ago, I really had to surrender that. And my way was not working out the way that I had really planned it. And so when I did that, it was just like this miraculous thing happened and, you know, this path. Not that the path was smooth, so lots of rocky places, but the peace on that path was incredible and is incredible. So, but yeah, I think it's mainly just surrendering that and knowing in my heart that, you know, God saw me right where I was, in my brokenness, in my pain, in my mistakes, in the choices that I made. But He still pursued my heart and He got it in the end.
For people who are listening right now, who they probably realize they have some childhood dreams that they kind of tucked away or shoved under the rug or felt like, I'm not good enough for that. What would you say to that person who they have this passion inside of them, but they're really scared or just feeling like they aren't going to be good enough to actually do that?
You got to take a leap of faith. I mean, you've got to, and I like to, I tell this to my team all the time. We always have something in our hand. For me, it's a paintbrush. I don't know what your dream is, but whatever it is, we have it in our hands and we have to open those hands and surrender it back, because don't stop dreaming, because I do believe that, you know, each and every single one of us, God has created us to do something for His kingdom and for His glory. And I love that verse for me, is delight yourselves in the way of the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. My desire was to paint. And gosh, looking at my rocky childhood and crazy, you know, going through high school and college, you know, He did give me, that little girl, the desires of my heart. And so you got to take a leap of faith. It is scary. I tell my children all the time, you know, you might fail, but you can get picked back up, put your feet on that narrow path. He will equip you. And, I just surrender and trust and believe. I think believing in yourself that, you know, you were born to do something great on this earth. I don't know what it is, but keep believing and, back off fear, because I have that fear too, a lot, but I have to surrender a lot.
So you've used the word surrender a lot, and I would love for you to kind of define that and unpack that for us. What does that actually look like? Because I think sometimes it's easy for us to say these words, but practically speaking, what does that look like for you?
So I'm going to go back to when I had just turned 30. That was 30 years ago. You'll read about this in the book, but those 20 years, and I, you know, little girl who, you know, had that experience with God, I wanted to do good. I wanted to be good. And my 20s, I did make some really pretty bad choices and mistakes in my life. And I thought that I could control my, you know, rocky, you know, home life. I thought I could control that. I thought I could control, you know, who I was going to marry. I thought I could control, you know, my career. That was not working out for me. Lots of disappointments, lots of failures, so to speak, and lots of crying out, whether you're crying out to the universe or crying out, I was crying out to God. And well, really, I don't know if I was crying out to him. I kind of kept him at arm's length during these years. So I don't know really who I was crying out to, but I'll never forget this. I had just, it was April of 1993, and I was tired. I was weary. I didn't want to do it my way anymore. So I did fall on my face and I cried out to God, I give this to you. I give you my past. I give you my mistakes. I give you my choices. I give you my career. I give you my, you know, I desperately wanted to be married. I was 30 years old. You know, the clock was ticking. And I had to physically surrender that. And I will say that when I did that, I had such a peace that you could not describe, the peace that passes all understanding. And I got up from my bedroom and I'm like, okay, you know, this is really weird and surreal, but I had this peace. And I think it's something that only when you can expressively open your hands and do this and speak it and surrender, it's just a surreal feeling. 2 months after that, I met my husband. 10 dates after that, he asked me to marry him. And it was this journey of a lifetime, 30 years later. So surrender is a big word for me because of my control, because of I want to do things my way. But I think that when we let go of control, when we surrender our fears, when we surrender our desires, when we can do that, whether you're a journaler, whether you're, you know, you physically, you know, get down on your hands and knees and just open your hands and surrender. I don't know, whatever it takes, but to do that, I just know that God steps in and he will do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine. Mm-hmm.
This episode is sponsored by ByHeart, and I feel like I need to preface what I'm going to say with this. I'm a huge advocate of breastfeeding. Anyone who knows me well knows that nursing is something I believe in, and all five of our biological children were breastfed until they were 19 to 23 months old. However, we also have fostered and adopted, and I've been so grateful for formula companies in those situations. I'm also grateful for formula companies because our last two biological children, I really struggled with my supply and did all the things, spent so much time and effort, and just was never able to produce enough for them to be able to gain weight and not be hungry. And so I was so grateful for companies like ByHeart. ByHeart is an infant nutrition company built from the ground up to deliver real innovation on behalf of babies and parents. Their mission is simple: make the best formula in the world. Using the latest in breast milk science, ByHeart created a clinically proven, easy-to-digest infant formula that's made with organic, grass-fed whole milk, certified clean ingredients, and features a patented protein blend that gets closest to breast milk. They're made with certified clean ingredients. It has no soy, corn syrup, GMOs, or palm oil. Curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code CRYSTAL for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply. So go to byheart.com/podcast and use CRYSTAL to get your welcome offer. If you have a big event coming up that you need to get a nice outfit for, and you are dreading having to do the shopping for it, and also you're like, I don't want to spend a whole bunch of money, well, I've got a solution for you. Armoire is a clothing rental service, and they have such great clothes to choose from. Here's the thing. You go on their website and you get to take a survey that is going to really help you define your style. And you can also tell them if you're looking for something specific. So if you're looking for dresses, a type of dress, formal dresses, office wear, whatever it is, maybe you're looking for casual clothes. I don't know, but you can tell them what you're looking for. And then they are going to curate this closet for you of items to choose from. And then you choose which ones you want to rent and they ship them right to your door. So you don't even have to go in store and try things on. I was so impressed with what they sent me. They nailed my style and also they nailed my size, which I find very difficult to do. I can go to the mall and try on item after item after item after item, and rarely do I find things that fit me really well. But almost everything they sent fit me perfectly. In fact, I had to send back my bag of the clothes that I had rented, and I was really sad to part with it because some of the things in it I had worn so many times that I really didn't want to give them up because I love them so much. In fact, I was like, should I just go ahead and purchase this? Which is an option that they offer as well. But if you'd like to try out this clothing rental service, right now, my listeners can give Amoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit amoire.style/crystal. That is amoire.style, amoire.style/crystal to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Amoire today.
Do you still have to surrender on a regular basis?
Every single day. Mm-hmm. Every single day. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is a, you know, it's a daily challenge. You know, the art, 20 years ago, I painted the first angel painting. I was painting other things. I was doing still lifes and figures, but that kind of took off. And then, you know, the business kind of blew up and now I'm a boss and got 10 employees and I'm like, I didn't sign up for this, Lord. So it's a daily thing of just surrendering, you know, and surrendering the next, you know, what I don't want to step ahead. I tend to do that a lot. And so it's really pausing, being still in the moment. What is it that I'm, what's the next step that I'm supposed to take and surrendering that. So I think a lot of times we live in a world where there's a lot of noise around us. And for me, and I feel like God is really pressing this on my heart right now, is to be still and drown out the noise. And that's what I'm trying to do.
What does that look like for you to be still?
That is carving out a little bit of time where I'm not constantly on my phone or where I'm not constantly, you know, worrying about the gallery or, you know, products or, you know, the details of life, my businesses. It's a time where I can just carve out and really be still, be quiet. And whether you meditate, I'm in this incredible Bible study right now, and we are really digging into God's word. And really, whether it's, you know, you're meditating on one verse in the Bible or, you know, reading a whole chapter, but it's really being still and drowning out the news, what's going on around your family or, you know. So that's kind of, that's for me right now today.
And I would imagine that with this business that has kind of grown out of, you know, far beyond what you could dream or imagine, that's hard to do.
It's very hard to do.
And probably there are some days where you feel like, I don't have time.
Yeah, I don't have time. And I do, there are the days that, and I like to, I mean, even before I get out of bed, I just, even if it's a thought or a word that says, okay, God, you've got this day for me, before my feet hit the ground, because a lot of times my feet will hit the ground and I am running and I get home and I'm exhausted. I don't have time for, you know, my husband or, you know, myself. And it's just, you're exhausted, you're depleted. And so, being able to, before anything, you know, say those words, take my day, carve out some time, whether it's midday or, you know, early evening, or if you're an early morning riser, early morning. But take those few minutes just to pause, be still and be grateful for this day, because this is the day that we have been given. It's really important. Every day is a gift. And we know that, especially now with things swirling around as tragedy, unexpected tragedy, is just every day is a gift. So how can we really pause, be still, drown out all the things that are swirling around us, and be grateful?
You have a quote at the beginning of the book that you actually read to me, which I would love for you to read to us. I just think it's a really beautiful quote.
So it's in chapter one, and the title is Beginnings, Brokenness, and Beauty. And this book by Russ Ramsey is Rembrandt is in the Wind, Learning to Love Art Through the Eyes of Faith. And the quote is, "It is hard to render an honest self-portrait if we want to conceal what is unattractive and hide what is broken. We want to appear beautiful, but when we do this, we hide what needs redemption, what we trust Christ to redeem. And everything redeemed by Christ becomes beautiful." Mm. I love that.
And I think that you, looking back on your life, you've seen how God has just used those broken pieces.
Yes.
I know we have a lot of people who are listening to this, who they have a lot of brokenness in their life too. They can relate to that, but maybe they're feeling stuck. Like, I'm too broken. Like, I've made too many mistakes. What would you say to that person who's feeling like that?
You're not too broken. And there is nothing that we can do that would separate us from the love that God has for us. There's nothing. And I believe that, and in the depths of my being. And I think the enemy wants to come and, you know, tell us we're not worthy. We're not good enough. Oh, look what you've done. Oh, you know, he's never going to love. And we've got back to that drowning out the noise of the liars and the enemies of this world, and truly put our eyes fixed and focused on what Jesus did on the cross for us. You know, I don't know where anybody is in their faith. And I just, you know and believe that because of that, because of the blood that was shed on the cross for me and all the things that I did, and, you know, it's freeing. It's the grace. I mean, the grace that we have. And it's a gift. For me, it's a gift that I got as an early child. I cannot imagine not having that gift. And a lot of people have that gift, but they put it on a shelf and they don't open that package. And it's until you take that package and open it up and really see the beauty of the gift. And I just want to encourage, you know, there is nothing that we have done or do or, you know, that would ever separate us from that love that he has for us. He pursues our hearts. Mm.
One of the things that I love that is a theme throughout your book is, you know, it's the brushstrokes of life is the title of your book, and how these little brushstrokes that we sometimes, I feel like it doesn't make sense. Yeah. Like, anytime, I am not someone who knows how to paint, but when I watch someone painting, I will see what they are doing and I will be confused. So I'm like, why are you doing that? That doesn't make sense to me. Like, that looks really odd. And I think in the process of the painting, there's a lot of stuff that doesn't make sense, but it's because the artist knows what they're doing. And I think it's such a beautiful picture of, you know, God is the artist in our life and in our world. And so there are many times when things are happening that do not make sense, but he sees the big picture.
Yeah.
And I just love this throughout your book of you not only weaving in how God has used those broken pieces, those hard things, those things that don't make sense, but that it's this beautiful canvas when you step back and how where he has you today, you could have never
dreamed. Yes.
No. And just, but he put that in your heart as a little girl. And, you know, you were recounting to me these stories of like your art being on the Today Show and it's just, you know, different things, how you just know that's God.
Yeah.
Like that's God's faithfulness. Yes. And as we close up this conversation, I'd love for you to just speak to, you know, just share a little bit about how he's been so faithful, how you've seen him and how he has just done immeasurably more than you can ask or think.
That's a good ending. And when you were talking about that and the master artist and watching an artist paint, this vision came to me. I had this incredible art teacher, and he, like me, was such a messy painter. Mm. And I like to tell people, you know, God can take our messes and create a message. And every time he painted, if you're like right up close, the painting did not make any sense. But as you step back, and as you, you know, kept going backwards, you saw this beautiful landscape just come into play with a beautiful sunset. And so I love that image that you have. And I think that for me in this, I've just seen God, you know, time and time and time again, whether it's through divine appointments or through, you know, words of encouragement or families come in, you know, this really truly has become now a ministry. When I painted my first angel 20 years ago, my sister said, "Oh my gosh, I think you found your voice." Mm-hmm. I had no idea that it would become a life song and really ministering to other people. And so I feel like God has poured out. Every time I go to paint a painting, I put on my praise music. It is my time of worship and really just connecting with God and through, you know, the artists, musicians, their words. And I let the Holy Spirit just flow out onto the blank canvas, and God creates this, you know, this ethereal angel, this ethereal being, and the stories connect with, you know, the viewer, the collector. And so just being able to see how, you know, he's taken this gift, desire that I want to paint, but he's taken on such a different journey than I could ever imagine. And so it truly has been immeasurably more than I could ever ask or imagine, and grateful. I like to tell people we don't worship the angels. Everybody connects with these, you know, these angels. Everybody says, "Do you see angels?" I don't see angels, but I do, you know, believe that God created these beings, angels, for a specific purpose on earth. And so that is why I paint them.
Well, I was just thinking how you could have chosen to stay kind of stuck mm-hmm. in that of feeling like you had these passions, but you weren't worthy, you weren't good enough. You could have just kind of taken that path. It's kind of like putting your light under a bushel, yes. like scripture talks about. But God has given you this gift, and how, because of your willingness to release, you know, yes. to use what's in your hand and then release it to God, he has blessed it so much and blessed so many people through what's in your hand, through you releasing what's in your hand. And I just want to encourage anyone who's listening, yes. who you know in your heart, God is calling you to something. He's put this passion in you, but you're scared. You feel like you don't have what it takes, you aren't good enough, just to remember that those are lies from Satan telling you that you're not enough, that you don't have what it takes, that you're going to be a disappointment, all of those things. And just to camp in the truth of who you are in Christ, and to know that God wants to use you to bless other people, to bless all those around you, to glorify himself through you. He has created you. You are a masterpiece by the master artist. And so I just want to encourage you to see God's hand, to believe in that, and to let him use you, whether it's a paintbrush in your hand or a computer, or whether it's, you know, whatever that looks like, what's in your hand, let God use that for his glory to impact many lives. And so thank you, Anne. Thank you for coming on and inspiring us with your life, with your story. And I just encourage anyone listening who you want to go deeper. Her book has so much more, and it's just an encouragement to use what God's given you, the brushstrokes of life, discovering how God brings beauty and purpose to your story.
Thank you for joining us today. For more great resources, please visit crystalpayne.com.